Welcome to the Auto Trader and Kelley Blue Book Sales Day Call. My name is Jason and I will be your operator. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later we will conduct a question and answer session. At that time, if you have a question, please press star then one on your touchtone phone. Also, please note this conference is being recorded. I will now turn the call over to Brenna Beeler. Brenna, you may begin.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining this month's Auto Trader and Kelley Blue Book Sales Day conference call. Both Alec Gutierrez, Senior Analyst for Kelley Blue Book, and Michelle Krez, Executive Analyst for Auto Trader, will be speaking today on September 2017 results, followed by a Q&A session. So first, I'll hand it over to Alec.
Thanks, Brenna, and thanks, everyone, for joining the call. As we've all seen this morning, the sales numbers from just about every manufacturer have come in well above expectations. We came out with a forecast of about 1,440,000 units, a little less than a 1% increase year over year, which equated to about 17.5 million SAAR. So far, with most of the larger manufacturers having reported their results, we are now on pace for SAAR in the range of perhaps 18.3 to as high as 18.6 for the month. Without going into too much detail, we know that there was an increase in retail volume driven by the hurricanes in Texas and in Florida, as consumers not only delayed purchases in August that were pushed into September, but there was also a number of sales that were generated due to pull-ahead activity as consumers looked to replace their destroyed vehicles. As you look at the segment mix, there was strength across the board. Trucks, SUVs, even small cars and mid-sized cars, which have suffered for much of the year. Demand across the spectrum was up. So there was no real, no segment losers in this sense with, for example, Ford F-Series had more than 82,000 trucks sold, a 21% increase. Ford Explorer saw 18,000 units sold. So regardless of segment, vehicle sales were very, very strong, both on the retail side and on the fleet side, as we saw even commercial buyers get out there and push larger than expected orders, which also contributed to the gain. From a financial perspective, transaction prices, again, remained very, very strong. Overall, average transaction price was about $34,800. About a 0.5% increase year over year, largely driven by a continued shift in mix away from smaller, more affordable cars towards sport utilities, especially small sport utilities, as well as larger pickup trucks. But again, continued strength on the ACP front, driven to a shift towards more expensive units. As we look at the used car market, we've obviously seen some strength there. Again, driven by the need for additional vehicles, not only the new car side, but also obviously on the used car side to replace units damaged by the hurricane. So on that front, although off-lease volume continues to rise, at least in the intermediate term, and that's what I want to stress here, both in terms of the lift on the new car sales side, the used car sales side, and used car valuation front, the activity we're seeing today is likely going to be short-lived. So expect to see 2, maybe 3 months of increased activity, and then things should start to return back to the levels we were seeing prior to the hurricane. Overall on the year, our estimate remains at about 17.1 million SAAR. Again, that number has been supported due to the increase in demand both on the retail and commercial side, the fleet side. And we'll be tracking that closely in the months to come to determine if that's where the estimate remains. And with that, I will turn it over to Michelle for her additional thoughts.
Thank you, Alec. I think we can't stress enough the impact of the hurricane. And like Alec said, this will be a short-lived party. Not only were individuals hurt by losing vehicles, damaged vehicles, but so too were the rental car fleets, and we can expect those to be replenished and will be. But again, all of this will be short-lived. But still, I think, you know, the economics are pretty strong. There's good deals out there. There's a number of, we're seeing pull-ahead lease deals, for example. So the conditions are, the underlying fundamentals are good. Alec touched on some of the segments, and if you look by manufacturer, you see where the gains are. If you look at General Motors, they are now reaping the benefits of all those investments they've made in revamping their compact and midsize sport utilities. The Chevrolet Equinox had a phenomenal month, up 80%. I think we'll have to look at inventories based on the strike that's going on in Canada where those are made. Traverse, the Cadillac XT5, and the GMC sport utilities also did well. At Ford, what can you say? It was about the F-Series, and Ford sold 82,000 of them. I would note that the F-150 is the number one seller in Houston, which is a big truck market. So Ford likely benefited from sales that were postponed in August due to Hurricane Harvey and some of replacement demand. But still, that's an impressive number. I thought what was interesting about the Ford Escape and Ford Edge had good months too, and their car declines were not so steep. So I wonder if they've hit bottom. We'll have to watch that. At Fiat Chrysler, they are doing what GM and Ford have been doing for some time, and that is decreasing their fleets, and that showed, it's been showing in the last few months. The other thing I would note there, that cheap Jeeps were among the bright spots in their sales report. The Jeep Compass and Renegade had terrific months. Both of those started under $20,000, but might have come at the expense of the somewhat pricier Cherokee. At Toyota, we fully expected that Toyota would have the biggest sales increase of the major automakers, and it far outperformed. Now that Toyota is headquartered in Texas, we've seen that Toyota is enjoying a higher than normal shopping for its vehicles post-Hurricane Harvey, buying from the home team, I would imagine. And the Toyota RAV4 continues to stun. It had an outrageous month of a third month of 40,000 plus sales. And the new Camry had a nice sales lift in that lackluster midsize sedan market. We did some calculations. The RAV4 just outsold Buick, Cadillac, and Lincoln combined. It outsells Dodge. It outsells Chrysler. It's quite a phenomenal franchise unto itself. Nissan totally shocked us. Posted a double-digit hike instead of a rather hefty decline that we'd anticipated. And again, look at Rogue. Of course, now they add in the Rogue Sport. That earns much of the credit. It's now approaching 40,000 units a month, and that's Toyota RAV4 territory. And at Honda, the Accord and Civic cars and segments that are rather lackluster are more than holding their own. Honda had a good month for its midsize sport utilities as well. So with that, let's open up to questions, please.
Thank you. Once again, if you have a question, please press star, then 1 on your touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the queue, please press the pound sign or the hash key. If you are using a speakerphone, you may need to pick up the handset first before pressing the numbers. Once again, if you have a question, please press star, then 1 on your touchtone phone. And our first question comes from Rye Drusen from San Antonio Express.
Hi, Michelle and Alan.
Good morning.
Good to talk to you all. You know, with the hurricane effects, you know, being calculated now and everyone figuring out exactly what's been lost, are you expecting a specific bump in certain vehicle segments? Either, I don't know if you're seeing it right now or if we're going to see it in the coming weeks. What can you speak to on that?
Well, certainly we know that Houston was the market that was most affected. We think it could be as high as 580,000 vehicles. That is a truck market, as you know. I think of the top six vehicles, all but two are trucks, and the Ford F-Series is at the top. So I definitely think you'll see, and we may have seen that with some Ford's big increase in sales there. Alec, you have anything to add?
Yeah, no, I think you're right on. It's going to be driven by the Houston market and the supporting areas, which we know, similar to the rest of the country, but probably only more so, are or share a preference for trucks and SUVs more than anything else. So if there was any segment to benefit, certainly those segments more than any others. I agree.
Okay. All right. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Thank you. And once again, if you have a question, please press star 1. Our next question comes from Eric Lawrence from Detroit Free Press.
Hey, Eric.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
Excellent. Hey, I wanted to just ask you about FCA. Should they be seeing some kind of a bump from in RAM sales due to hurricane recovery?
Let's see. They were roughly flat, if I remember right.
Right. So I'm wondering if what's the story there, I guess.
Well, I believe that the Chevy Silverado had some pretty strong incentives against RAM, so that would be one factor. And, you know, then Ford just killing it with the F-150, so that's tough competition. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think it's tough to say. I mean, I think what we could see is that the RAM pickup truck might have had sales that, although they were flat, did see some benefit. You know, you might have likely seen a bit more of a decline if not for the replacement demand, the increased demand in the segment overall. I think Michelle also hit on the point, if you look at from an incentive spend perspective, Silverado has been fairly heavily incentivized in previous months. I think that's going to drive some interest and activity on that front, because we know that the RAM pickup is certainly a well-received, well-respected truck. So the fact that sales were only flat in this kind of environment where, you know, nearly all segments are receiving a bit of a lift, to me suggests that maybe a bit of an increase was factored into their, you know, their flat performance.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. And our next question comes from Megan Lampinen from Automotive World.
Hi, Megan.
Hi, guys. I've got a couple quick questions. First, I'm interested in whether we're going to see any impact with Equinox due to the CAMI strike in Canada. I mean, theoretically, how much of a problem could this pose for sales?
I'd have to look at the inventories. Maybe, Alec, do you have inventories on Equinox, or we might not have the most up-to-date numbers yet.
Yeah, we'd have to take a look. The last I checked, I don't think there was a shortage of Equinoxes available out there. So my gut says that that the industry and GM can likely sustain some period of shutdown production. But given enough time, certainly there would be an impact. But I think in the immediate term, you know, the next 30 to 45 days, there should be enough units on the ground to meet existing demand. But again, you start to stretch longer than that, and certainly I think there's going to be an impact felt.
And is it also made in Mexico? There may be a possibility of production there. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'd read about that. I didn't know if it was actually being rolled out at the moment or in Mexico.
I don't know. I'd have to check that.
Right. On another front, I'm interested in hearing a bit more about warranties and how that might be used as a sales tool. We got Volkswagen coming out with a People First warranty. How useful in general can these be, and what circumstances might prompt others to follow with their own sort of similar approach?
Go ahead, Alec.
Yeah, I mean, I think people pay a lot for a new car, right? You go out there and you're spending $35,000 on average, and if $35,000 is the average, we know that many folks are going out there paying $40,000, $45,000, $50,000. I mean, you look at pickup trucks, and your average transaction price is $40,000, $42,000. And I think when you're spending that kind of money, there's an expectation that the manufacturer is going to stand behind their product. I think that although Hyundai and Kia have certainly established themselves as producing top quality vehicles, certainly on par with the best the industry has to offer. Their 10-year, 100,000-mile warranty is something that has also helped to garner them a lot of support and attention and really given them the trust of consumers. When you look at the People First warranty, which is, I believe, 60 or 72,000 bumper-to-bumper warranty, I think that Volkswagen suggests getting out there and suggesting that they're willing to stand behind their product. So I think that that is something that, that does and will resonate with consumers. Warranty typically doesn't come out as one of the top items that is in the consideration set for consumers. You know, they're looking at price and safety and reliability, which is certainly related to warranty coverage. But absolutely, I think having a strong warranty is something that is critical when consumers are out there trying to make their decisions. So this is VW, I think, saying we're willing to stand behind our product. You can trust us. And we'll see if it's effective, but I think it's certainly a good step and the right step for them to do.
I would add, Megan, too, that these typically occur when a company has had a situation, a betrayal. If you look back at the history of Hyundai, it put that warranty into effect when it had some quality problems and needed its sales took a nosedive and it needed to reassure consumers. Volkswagen is you know still dealing with the diesel scandal, so it needs to do something extra to give the consumer some extra confidence to come to the brand.
That makes a lot of sense. Thanks for that, guys.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you, and we have Roger Zinn on the line with an additional question. Your line is open.
Yes, hi, everyone. I just had a follow-up. I saw one of your colleagues, Akshay Anand, talked about how Toyota, I mean, and y'all talked about this, had a good month, and that part of it was due to SUVs and trucks. You know, I've been looking at the numbers, and for Toyota, I mean, these are some of the best numbers they've had in a year for the Tacomas and Tundras. I'm wondering if you think that their proximity of the plant that they have in San Antonio to these disaster-hit areas, if you think that helps them at all with getting, you know, vehicles to market faster, especially these trucks, or if that doesn't matter these days, just given the, you know, interconnectedness of trade and all that.
I would say it's less the proximity of the plant, but more the fact that Toyota has moved to Texas. That's been highly publicized, and also that the that Houston is that heavy truck market. It's also a big RAV4 market, I would add too. So, and we have seen more shopping for Toyota post hurricane than we would typically see. So I think there's definitely some buying from the home team.
Yeah, and just to add to that point, we were able to confirm that Toyota is the number, prior to the hurricanes, I mean, Toyota was the number one selling manufacturer in the Houston DMA. So whether that's driven due to plant proximity or just preference for their products or a combination of both, I think that's certainly something that factored in. There was already strong support for that brand in that market.
Okay, and if I may, I wasn't on the call last month, so I wasn't able to ask about Toyota's decision to switch over the Corolla plant in Mexico to future Tacoma production. I'm wondering if that is indicative of Toyota's want to add more and more trucks to its mix, and if they're trying to do that faster and trying to hold off on, say, more sedan manufacturing, given the struggles that segment has had?
Well, I would say that every automaker is looking at their product portfolios and looking at do we have too many cars, and then also looking at their and not enough sport utility vehicles and trucks, and do we have the right manufacturing capacity to match that. If you look at what Ford has done, it's going to bring the Focus in from China. I think you're going to see a lot of shifting around in terms of the balancing of product portfolios and manufacturing capacities like that.
Okay. All right. That's all I have. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. And once again, if you have a question, please press star 1. We have no further questions in the queue at this time.
Thank you, everyone, for joining. Please keep an eye out for next month's call-in details. And if you need anything else today for Sales Day or for any other stories you're working on, please feel free to reach out to the public relations team, and we'll be happy to help. Thank you all for joining, and have a great day.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This concludes today's conference. Thank you for participating, and you may now disconnect.